our attention, everything that we have to the Lord. This is kind of the end of this particular, this we've been looking at as we've led into the resurrection, as we've led into Easter, this series, This I Believe. And it's kind of challenged us to be reminded of what we believe as believers, what we believe as Christians, what we believe even personally. We talked about this. This was kind of spurred on by Edward R. Murrow, who had a series that was Believe. And it wasn't particularly a Christian series. In fact, it was a series that was a radio series first, and then it continued on, and it was on PBS, and then it was on TV, and it was people. It was folks who were popular, or folks who were artists, or folks who people knew, is what also normal people like us writing into this radio show saying, this is what I believe, this is what challenges me. And the particular program that I'm talking about kind of tried to stray away from religious dogma. It almost looked negatively at kind of what they would have called a Christian dogma, this idea that Christianity is very firm and has dogma included in it. But I want you to know this, that as a believer, I do not practice religious dogma. I practice a relationship. I practice a personal relationship. And this morning, across this country and across the world, grasp the fact who will be celebrating Easter and will celebrate Easter corporately. But I want us to grasp the fact that Easter really is very personal. It's about a personal relationship that we have. As a pastor, there are certain things that we just have to do. And one of the things that I certainly do, and I've done my fair share, I have to do a lot of funerals. And when I am with people and doing funerals, there's certainly those funerals are times to mourn and times to be encouraged. And then most funerals that we do nowadays, they're after the funeral, we go to the cemetery. And as finality, it's kind of that marker, that place where we go, and it's kind of exemplifies finality. And we go to that place, and even there are people who maybe have their grave marked, and people will go to that place to mourn and to remember. And there's this idea of finality. But I want you to know that this Greek term that we've taken the word cemetery from, really there was no understanding of finality as much as it was a rest, a sleeping place. Not a permanent place, but a temporary place. See, as believers, we don't believe that when someone dies, that that's all there is. And you want to know why? Because ultimately, our leader defeated death. The scripture tells us that to be absent from the body for a believer is to be present with Christ. I know it's very difficult for families to grasp and to hold on to because we love in the physical body. But those who are believers, maybe you, there's real hope there. I challenge you, even as maybe you've dealt with death before and you've understood that pain and that struggle, for a believer, certainly as we say goodbye to a believer, we really shouldn't be saying goodbye, but we should say, I'll see you later. Because this idea of a cemetery, when Jesus' resting place for a believer completely changed, was altered forever when Jesus Christ defeated death. I want us to take a picture this morning. I want us to be reminded of kind of what this picture looked like. You understand that on that Sunday morning, there are women going to the tomb, and those women met by angels, and then those women leave the tomb, and they start sharing the gospel. The first people to share the gospel message, the fact that Jesus was alive, followers, women who were devoted followers of Jesus. All the other people and followers, we understand, were in a room cowering in fear. And yet these women went to the tomb, and they were the first to see that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. They were the first proclaimers of the gospel. And we'll see that in a minute, because probably most of us aren't like those women. Most of us probably had a progression of faith and didn't immediately believe. There were things that we had to kind of understand. There were things we needed to grasp. And I want to show us that progression in Scripture this morning. But I also, I kind of want us to see the heart of that progression. And so our last video in this series will show the heart of that progression with John and Peter going to the tomb. Take a look.
Peter, stop!
We'll get the guys to help with the search and then we'll divide up, all right? We'll have Andrew take the north part. That's the only lot.
Peter, stop! Look, I'm just as confused about this as you are.
Someone stole him. That's the only logical explanation, John.
Wait, okay? Look, what we witnessed today.
The guards, they took him. We have to move swiftly. We have to rebury the body properly.
Look, Peter, stop! Okay, we need to go tell the others.
Tell them what?
What we saw.
We saw nothing.
Exactly.
John, do you not understand that they are trying to stop us? That's why Jesus kept waking us up to pray. That's why they got to Judas. That's why they arrested Jesus. Just the other day, I was looking at him. I was looking him in the eye and I told him that I loved him and that I would follow him to the ends of the earth. He was supposed to be our...
He is the king.
Just lying there.
No. Think bigger. Look, all of this. All of it. We just was supposed to be preparing us for this moment, for that empty tomb. We just couldn't see it.
Couldn't see what?
Okay. When Mary came back and said that the tomb was empty and that the angel of the Lord was there, that's when it started to come back.
John, enough. We can reminisce about this later. Jesus is missing. We have to go find him.
He's not missing. That's the point. Look, he was trying to tell us about this. Jesus was preparing us for this. He's risen. Peter, he's a different kind of king, and he always was. Peter, you remember that night Jesus asked us who we thought he was?
When he called me Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called him...
Lord.
Understand?
Lord. Lord of all, Peter. We just didn't understand.
But he's gone.
No. He's risen.
He did it. He did it.
Peter, he's risen.
He's risen. Do you hear that? He's risen. He's risen. He did it. He's risen!
He did it. Unbelievable. Hard for us to believe, hard for us to imagine. Spot. In fact, sometimes we don't imagine it, right? There are those times, there are those dark spots, those dark areas where we're asking, God, what are you doing here? God, why can't I understand what's going on here? God, why won't you share with me all that I'm supposed to know? God, why haven't you intervened in areas that I've prayed about? God, why haven't you intervened in my family? Why haven't you intervened in my workspace? Why haven't you intervened in areas that I've asked you to intervene over and over and over again? You been there? You had those same struggles before? Guess what? The person who had the conversation with Jesus, when Jesus tells Peter that upon this rock I'll build my church, he's there in the clinches. He's there with Jesus, and Peter himself, we'll see in Scripture today, had the same crisis of faith. Before we read, I just want to remind us where we've been the last 3 weeks. We saw Emmaus, and they did this. Jesus walked with those men or the group to Emmaus, and they did not respond because they did not know who he was. And then they have that moment where Jesus has breaks bread with them, and they say, oh, this is Jesus. They have that crisis of faith. I need to be careful not to go too far with this, but Barabbas, who was about to go on the cross, that we know that he was going to be crucified, Pilate asks the crowd, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus of faith? Crowd says, we want Jesus. The first time, the very first person who could ever literally say, Jesus died in my place, it was Barabbas. Then last week, we see this story of Lazarus and Lazarus' sisters who have called out for Jesus and said, Jesus, we need Jesus here. Only Jesus can heal our brother. And as they waited, their brother died, and Mary and Martha were upset, disturbed. And Jesus comes even after their brother had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And Jesus walks up to the ladies and he says, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And not after he did something, but before he did something, they understood, you are the Lord. You are the Savior. And in that moment, we see Lazarus risen from the grave, not because of what he had done, but because Jesus wanted to show the glory of God. Finally, in our series this morning, we will see kind of chapter progression a few different times. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 24. We're going to verses 1 through 12 together. We're going to see that progression happen. And then we're going to try to apply that progression to us. How have we responded to the gospel of Christ? What does it look like for us personally? Not just as a church, because we are the family of God this morning. Most importantly, what does that look like personally for you? So even this morning, please understand that the message that I am attempting to preach is not necessarily for the church first, it's for the individual first. So every word this morning, I pray that you will apply to your own personal life. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 12. If you don't have your Bible with you, it'll be on the screen. You can read along. It says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, down to the two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and they bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He's not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee on the third day, saying, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes, so he went home amazed at what had happened. Father, I pray for just the blessing on the reading of your word. God, I pray that you would challenge us, help us to understand what you're trying to give us from your word. We love you. It's incredible. I think we pray. Amen. I think there's a progression here. I think we can see a progression as we look in and we break up these particular verses from verse 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and then 9 through 12. First, we see that the women went to an empty tomb. The empty tomb is significant because it's never did before, okay? It's never happened before where someone has been resurrected. Most of us, we've probably heard about the resurrection. Maybe even some of us have been studying it. Most of our life, I've been studying the resurrection and been using the word resurrection and understanding that Jesus wasn't in the tomb even since I was a baby. I've been using terms. But understand that in that day and age, there was no such thing as resurrection. It's not as if they had another example to follow. It's not as if they had ever seen this before. Jesus was changing history. And these tomb, the stone was not where they anticipated. What we're going to see here and what we learn from the resurrection is that these women were going to the tomb because they were faithful to Jesus. They were bringing spices. Now here's something that just kind of enters into my mind. These women, and again, probably not all of them were named here. We see three names here. We also, Salome, and another account of this story, it was likely a group of women who were going to the tomb. They had followed Jesus to his death. They were going to the tomb with spices. They were going to do what was correct by Jesus. They were going to try and anoint his body with spices and give him a proper burial. Here's what I find extraordinary. We don't see where the women say anything about, well, the Romans aren't going to let us in. Remember, there were Roman guards put at the tomb. There were Roman guards there to guard. They were being faithful. Maybe they even understood that they wouldn't be able to, They wanted to be faithful in the little things, and they were going to be, they were going to try to do right by genes that we see. Good Christians, we often perplex about things that we cannot control. Here, I think from the testimony of these women, just continue forward in the things that where you have open doors. Continue to walk forward through open doors. Sometimes we even had done too much in the future, and we try to say, this isn't going to work. If the women had done that, they would not have received this blessing. They get there, and the stone had been rolled away. Mark 16, verse 3 and 4 says, they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us? There's another issue here. Not only are the Roman guards going to be there, but now the women are saying, who's going to roll the stone away for us? We're not strong enough to roll away the stone. And in Matthew chapter 28, we see that when the angels were there, they caused an earth to grab, and the stone was rolled away. A particular passage. The stone, it was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so that the women and the disciples could get in. Think about that for a second. Jesus, the Savior, a resurrected body, it doesn't need the stone to be rolled away. But it was rolled away so that the disciples, they could see. Understand that in this particular passage, seeing is believing. For us, believing is seeing. For us, you catch that? 2,000 years ago, seeing was believing. For us, in faith, believing is seeing, because we are to have hope. Hebrews chapter 11, hope is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we see that it is impossible to please God without faith. The stone wasn't where they anticipated. Guess what? With spices. They are going there to anoint the body of Jesus. When they walk in, their thought must have been, he's been stolen. Where is he? The body's not where we thought it would be. And in that moment, what we see is that men dressed in dazzling white, we understand them to be angels from Matthew chapter 28 and John chapter 20. They encounter something that they are say they do, anticipating. And when they do encounter these angels, what does the scripture say they do? It says they fall to their knees. They and worship fall to their knees. Everything that's going on, we have the privilege of reading it and reading several accounts, but think about it in that very moment. In that very moment, the body wasn't where they anticipated. And you want to know why? Because the Savior was not where they anticipated. See, Jesus had taught his followers that there would be a resurrection. Jesus had taught his followers that he was the Lord, that he was the Son of God. He has taught them this. And only afterwards do they begin to understand what happens in the resurrection. We read the story. They're living the story. They're living the story. I think it's absolutely crucial and critical for us to just kind of examine the historicity of this particular story. See, if someone were writing this story and trying to make sure that this story were true and try to make sure that this story was authentic, see, someone would even lie about the first people to see being women. See, in this day and age, a true story had an element of writing proper witnesses. There had to be two witnesses, right? And this isn't me. I'm just the messenger. Writer, what we see here in the particular scripture, Luke, giving accurate detail, says that there were women and they believed or they took the testimony of women. You want to know why? And there's always discussion about this. There's always people talking about this. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ himself see men and women as equal. They're equal. They have and responsibilities. God has established that in the scripture. But there is no such thing in Jesus' account of one being less than the other. And we see this cycle beginning, this particular area starting with women. We see the women went to an empty tomb. We see the angels have now gone to the empty tomb. Why are they there? They are there to bring clarity to what has gone on. They're there to make sure that people understand that Jesus' body has not been stolen. They announced, and I want you to see this particular progression again. First, they announced that Jesus is living. Here's what it says in verse 5. Among women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? The very first thing they tell the women is, he's living. That's the very first thing they want to hear. That's the first thing they want to understand. It's the first thing that they want to grasp. And then they go on with the progression. Not only is he living, they announce that he's gone. He's not in Galilee living, but he's not here. He's not right here anymore. Remember what he told you in Galilee. Remember what he taught you before. He taught you that there would be this time, that there would be resurrection. He has told you all of these things before. You just haven't grasped it. And I don't know about you, but it's incredibly comforting to me that the people that were with Jesus didn't always grasp the entire story. That's comforting to me. I hope that it's comforting each one of you. Because each one of us have a different crisis of belief. Each one of us come to the Savior in different circumstances, truth, and the light. We all come to the Savior the same way. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And then, not only does he say, he's living, he's gone, but then he goes on to say, here he has been resurrected. He's been resurrected. He is risen. He's risen indeed. That's what's going on. Trust me, church. Trust me in the Baptist church. Trust me when I say this. When they went to the grave and he says, he's gone, he's risen, they're like, oh, okay, well, that's great. Trust me, that's not how it happened. They were excited. This was unbelievable. Even though they had been told, they hadn't truly accepted it. We understand that by the actions of the women. The women are going to the tomb ready to prepare a dead body. There was some understanding there, some faith there because they're going to the tomb. And then we see these angels giving them the crisis of belief, that progression, the lights being turned on little by little. They're beginning to understand he's living, he's gone, he's resurrected. And so now these in history, they now have the greatest privilege in history. Folks, the resurrected body, they're going the first to hear it. What are they going to do with it? They are going to proclaim the good news. They can't help themselves to hate. When you know the good news, you can't help yourself. I mean, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them the truth about a risen Savior? Well, we didn't like that, did we? Like, hold on. You're made what we say we believe. Why do we not share the good news? The Greek used the word euangelion. Even Jesus, this idea of there's no choice. You believe in Jesus? You're speaking the name of Jesus. You believe in Jesus? You're sharing the name of Jesus. There is that progression. And then, as we see the women going to proclaim the good news, I want you to hear this story as it is today. Because I think some of us can definitely identify with these women, but a lot of us can certainly identify with the disciples here. Going on, reading in verse 9, returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Verse 11, but these words seem like nonsense to them. Seem like nonsense. You know, when we share the good news, many times at first, it will seem like nonsense. Cutting. You know why? Because we're not living in a world where people are growing gospel, and many times it is for the first time that that person is hearing the gospel. But should we say, well, they heard the gospel and they didn't believe me, so I don't like them anymore. No, you love them even more. You love them even more. Church, I am so tired of being identified as judgmental and hateful. Why can't we be identified as Jesus would have us identified, as loving and welcoming? What happened? Encouraging. We go on to see what happens with the disciples. The disciples went to the empty tomb. We see Peter and in this particular story, other stories, and John and Mark, we see that Peter and John are the disciple Jesus loved, go to the tomb, and the women strengthened their belief. Now, the Bible says in this particular account that the disciples didn't believe the women. If Peter might say, well, they didn't strengthen their belief. If they had not strengthened them, there's something I remember here. There's something that doesn't add up perfectly. I want to make sure that when what I'm supposed to do, Peter gets up and he goes to the tomb. When Peter gets to the tomb, here's the next step. I believe these women just enough. It seems like nonsense. I believe just enough, but then I go to an empty tomb. The disciples go to the empty tomb, and what do you think they immediately thought? Body's been stolen. I think that's what we see in the video. Body's been stolen. It's the only plausible, possible explanation. You want to know why? Because they haven't been studying resurrection their whole life. They have no idea. It's never happened before. It's not as if they, oh, resurrection. I knew it. We've been studying this since I was 3. They didn't know what was going on. Can you just imagine kind of the light turning on? Not only do we see the women strengthened their belief, the empty tomb strengthens their belief, then we see in John chapter 20, the linen clothes, they strengthen their belief. By the way, don't think for a moment that Lazarus doesn't play a part here. Because they're saying, oh, remember what Jesus did here. Remember what was going on. By the way, there's some evidence here that I don't want to pass up. In John chapter 20, and put to the salt, the fact that the linen cloths were folded and put to the side. I want you to understand that folded linen clothes means that the grave, that the body is supposed to be stolen from the grave. I mean, if you're stealing something, you don't neatly place everything back where it's supposed to be. Can you imagine? Let's take his body. Oh, fold those clothes. We got to make sure that that's taken care of. That's not how it happens. These disciples who see an empty grave, they see the linen cloths, and they go back, and the scripture tells us that Jesus appeared. Greatest testimony of this story being true is the fact that these disciples, these followers of Jesus, the scripture tells us they were cowardly. I know that doesn't sound good for us, but they were cowardly, huddled together in a small room saying, what are we going to do now? Our leader's gone. Peter, who swears that he will not deny Jesus, denies him, and now brokenhearted. The disciples flee during the time of crucifixion. We see John likely there. They have no idea what's going on. And then they're fleeing. Jesus is dead. And then the scripture tells us after Jesus appears to the disciples, their boldness increases and moves forward, and they are all declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. It doesn't work like that if they believed Jesus was dead. They don't cower before he dies and then say, well, he's dead now. Let's show boldness. You know why they were bold? Because they believed that Jesus had been resurrected. In Mark 16, 9, the women in Matthew 28 resurrected. Jesus appears. Let me just give you evidence quickly. He appeared to other women in Matthew 28. He appeared in Emmaus, Luke 24. He appears to Simon Peter, 1 Corinthians 15, 4. He appeared to disciples without Thomas, John 20, 26. He appeared to the 11 in the upper room, Luke 24. He appeared at the Sea of Galilee, John 21. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 7, he appeared at his ascension. 500 other brothers. He appeared to James. He appeared to the 11 at his ascension in Luke chapter 24. Everyone was an eyewitness that Jesus was risen. And now, we continue that declaration that Jesus is risen. You see this progression. You see these people going through their crisis of faith. And like I asked you at the beginning of this message, I now ask you particularly, personally, who do you say that Jesus is? And Matthew, you could ask that question to Peter, and Peter responds, well, some say John the Baptist, some say a good man, a good prophet. And then Jesus says, no, who do you say that I am? And the response is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that Jesus is? Folks, one more thing and then I'm done. Kind of this. In our current world, we have the tendency to give Jesus kind of not quite Savior, but a really good man. Does a really good man say that he is the Son of God? I'm a pretty nice guy. I'd say I'm a pretty good man. If I were to tell you this morning that I was the Son of God, wouldn't you immediately say, that he was not too good anymore? Jesus Christ himself declared that he was the Son of God. So he is either who he said he was, the Christ, or he's a liar. He can't just be a good man. I'm asking you this morning, do you believe he is who he says he was? See, the scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinning, continuing to sin, Christ died for you. You will be saved. It is the blueprint, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the progression of faith for every single one of us. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you believed that he died on the cross, who became, and have you have accepted that he was the Son of God who became sin? He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Scripture tells us if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I can think of nothing better this morning than on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, that be the day that you say, I believe, I accept, and I want to live resurrected with him. But it's a personal choice. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, even as we pray, I continue to work those who have never fully trusted you as their personal Savior. God, I pray this morning for anyone who has not fully made the commitment to trust you, that today would be the day that they admit they are a sinner, that they believe in the name of Jesus, and they confess that before men. God, this is your time. We give it to you. God, I pray even now that there are people in this room praying, asking forgiveness of sin, asking for you to come into their heart. and asking you to be Lord of their life. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand together? I'm going to be very specific about what we're going to do over the next few moments. Charlie's going to lead us, even in worship. There's a couple of songs. Come this morning, sing together. This morning, if you want to use this altar as a place of prayer, if you want to come this morning saying, we want to declare that we want to be members of this church, or even most importantly, you want to declare publicly that you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to be able to visit with you about that. See, the reason that there is a time of invitation, reflection, is because in our normal lives, a little to do it our way. And sometimes movement says, I'm a little uncomfortable here, but I'm willing to do that for the Father. You want to know why? Because Jesus took the weight of the world on himself for us. And so this morning, if you'd like to do any of those things, again, that little flap that we mentioned on your bulletin, certainly look through that as we sing together. And if you want to make any of those decisions public, we would welcome you to do that as we sing. You come as we sing.